afternoon, and Merry Christmas to you all. Great to see you. Yes, wonderful to be here together, worship together, celebrate together. And as we start our service, I would like to ask our staff to come up, Jeff, Nolan, Sarah, and Stu. Each year at this time, we ask our congregation, you know, they bless us all year long. And we take the opportunity here during the Christmas season to bless them. And you have been very generous, and we want to just honor them just briefly here this afternoon and thank them for what they do throughout the year. And so thank you, staff. Okay, Julie and I will do the candle lighting.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
Jesus Christ is our light and life. We light this candle in celebration that as Christ was faithful to be born at Christmas, he will be faithful to come again. This is why he's lighting the candle.
We now invite you to stand and worship with gladness and joy our Emmanuel, God with us.
One and two and one, two, three, four.
Prepare.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him God, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and lamb are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, who shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him on, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, cup, heads and key to own him. The King of kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, who shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of the King, who shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him now, the babe, the Son of Mary. Raise, raise the song on high, the virgin sees her love abide. Is born the babe, the Son of Mary. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of a dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. For Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, oh. I want to invite you to have a seat for our next part of our service.
The word of the Lord from Luke 1 and 2. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Mary had found favor with God, and so the angel told her, "Don't be afraid. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God, for the word of God will never fail. Nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her, and God had blessed Mary above all other women. And God blessed her child, and Mary rejoiced and praised God, her Savior. A little while later, The Roman emperor decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he and Mary had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. They traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And he was named Jesus.
Thanks, Sarah. Well, let us stand and respond in worship.
Triumph of the skies with enjoyment.
by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold Him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Tonight we give you praise. Lord, we hail your sweet name. We thank you for coming to us in the form of a child. We pray, Lord, as we get into your word tonight, that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, be with us and guide us as we learn from you. Amen. Well, you can have a seat. Thank you for singing with us.
All right, Merry Christmas. Got a full house. It's kind of fun. My name's Jeff, if we haven't met, and just thrilled to be able to share this celebratory evening with you. We'll be a little quicker tonight than normal. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up right where Sarah left off in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read what Luke says happens right after the birth. And I'll say a few things, but we're going to really kind of reflect on verse 19 and what that means for Mary, and then we'll do a little bit of that ourselves this evening. But Luke chapter 2, verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And as often happens, they were terrified. And as often happens, the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. All through this, heaven is coming to earth saying, don't be afraid. The angel said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I mean, at the core of what I want to do in the next few minutes is just proclaim to you good news that really brings great joy to all people. Verse 11 is significant. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. What's the sign, you might imagine? The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord? Well, you're going to find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Pretty humble sign for the Savior of the world. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. Notice, Mary and Joseph, there's no throng of angels. There's no shining radiance of glory. It's a very humble setting for them around a manger. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Mary and Joseph hear that from them. They don't experience it. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Here's our verse tonight. But Mary kept all these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So, again, I've tried to just interject here and there, but Luke is trying. We've talked about this if you've been with us on Sunday mornings. Luke is introducing us to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the most humble of fashions imaginable. I mean, he's doing everything to let you know that this is the Lord Almighty entering into the human story as a baby, but he's chosen to do it in the humblest of means, of ways. In other words, we should get curious with Mary. We should ponder everything. What kind of Lord is this that would enter into the stage this way? Again, let me remind you some of the things that Mary has been told. Sarah read them earlier. Let me read them again. Chapter 1, verse 31, Angel Gabriel talking to Mary, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great." Actually, when I preached this a few weeks ago, he is the standard of what it means to be great. I mean, he is greatness itself. "And he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David." And Sarah read this well. "He will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." What a thing to say about a baby. How about verse 35? "The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God.'" I mean, Mary's pondering all of this. And then if I was going to take more time this evening, but I won't. But I could spend a little bit more time on verse 11 because it's critical. We talked about Luke's way of introducing to us the full significance, and we're going to continue to explore this in January, the full significance of who this baby is his use of calling this baby Lord. In chapter 1, he's primarily been talking about the Lord as the God of Israel, and now he talks about this child as the Lord. I mean, if you're just hearing the story for the first time, you're mixing identities. Who then could this child be? And again, let me read chapter 2, verse 11. It's significant. You get all three of these descriptions just mashed together, almost not even knowing what to do with them, and Luke just is inviting you to keep reading to figure out what he's saying. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, the Christ Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. Amen and hallelujah. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't do this often, but I'm going to do this here. I was with a group of EFCA pastors as our denomination a few weeks ago, and we had a little devotional time, and one of them played a clip of a pastor preaching. I'd heard the clip before. Some of you have probably heard the clip. It comes from a pastor, Dr. S.M. Lockridge. He served at he was the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego. He lived from 1913 to 2000. He pastored from 1953 to 1993. And he gave a very famous sermon. You can YouTube, "That's My King, Dr. S.M. Lockridge." Actually, what he does is way cooler than what I'm going to do. He's got this voice. It's like a James Earl Jones kind of way. Like, he just brings it. I don't have that. I thought about playing it for you, but honestly, I'm a pastor, and I love to proclaim the good news. So I'm going to share his pondering of these things. It's a couple minutes, but I think you'll enjoy the magnitude. As Dr. Lockridge has pondered and treasured and mulled over all these things, listen to what he had to say. He said, my king was born king. The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder if you know him. Do you know my king? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shore of supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august, he's unique, he's unparalleled, he's unprecedented, he's supreme, he's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature, he's the highest personality in philosophy, he's the supreme problem in higher criticism, he's the fundamental doctrine in true theology, he's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion, he's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. That's my king. I wonder if you know him. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. I think that's my favorite line. I'm going to say it again. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? My king is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Last page. This is what he says. I love this. We're at this point in the sermon, and he says this. I wish I could describe him to you. And then he says this, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree, and Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. He had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not gonna resign. That's my king. Praise the Lord. And these are his last words, and then I'll pray. He says, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory The glory is all his. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? Well, it's forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the evers, then you say amen. Let's pray. Jesus, this evening we gather for no other reason than to give you all the glory. And we're still trying to figure out what it means to be loved by someone so sovereign, so powerful, so glorious, and yet so sacrificial, and so merciful, and so redemptive, so generous. Jesus, tonight, receive our praise. May you receive all of the glory. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Jeff. Merry Christmas, everyone. So before, bad night for my voice to go out. Before we end our service tonight, I want to give just a couple thank yous, a couple shout outs. So first and foremost, this beautiful painting. If you've been with us through Advent, we started week one, December 1st. And it was a blank canvas. And week by week, you know, it filled up. It became more and more beautiful. And even a lot of people didn't really know what it was. I had the gift of kind of foresight of knowing what it would look like at the end. But it is just such a clear, beautiful picture now. And Faith Ng is super gifted. So if you see her, thank her for this beautiful work of art. And also just take time to admire it. It's beautiful, and I'm just appreciative of the ways that it helped us enter into this waiting and longing for our Savior to come. And also Riley Ng, her super talented husband. He was on guitars tonight. Ryan Antoinette, he was on bass tonight. Carl Olson was doing percussion. Cody Sell was on piano. And Corey Mauck blessed us with her wonderful, beautiful voice. I'm thankful for these people. We got here at like 2:30. I was pretty stressed, but we prepped. So I'm just thankful for them giving up time on Christmas Eve to help out. I also want to shout out our awesome tech team, Kathy, Carl Jurosik, Dave Finley, and Bobby Ray. And I know I'm going long here, but Advent is such a, you know, Christmas time, Advent is such a fun season in the church, but there's a lot of learning new songs, there's a lot of shaking stuff up, so if you see anyone from the worship team, just let them know that you appreciate them, because they worked really, really hard this season. So I'm thankful for you guys as well. Thanks for helping out. To end our service, we are going to artistically and symbolically light up the darkness with candles as we sing our final song, Silent Night. But first, I want to remind us of the significant symbol that light is in God's word and in God himself, his character. And just a note before we start, parents of young kids, the sanctuary is going to get a little dark, so if your kids freak out, I'm sorry. And then also at the very end of our service, as you're exiting, there's some tinfoil trays that you can drop your candles in after we're done with our service. So. Isaiah chapter 42 says, God the Lord created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. We remember the creation narrative in Genesis, and God said, let there be light. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks the earth. And it is he who says, I, the Lord, have called you, the prophesied Messiah Jesus, to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you to my people Israel as a symbol of my covenant with them. And you will be a light to guide the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in darkness. John chapter 8, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus is the light, the good news to all the earth, and in him we have access to true life. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to his followers, you, my disciples, are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So as Christ has brought light and life into our hearts, there is this clear call in Scripture to share this and to declare it to others. We don't only receive and experience the awesome love of Christ, but God invites us to reflect the light of him to those around us. Through God's Spirit, we carry Christ's very presence with us, and we are called to tell others about Jesus, to love our God and our neighbors, to walk humbly with God, to strive for righteousness and justice, to wait for the second coming. We are called to be light. And so tonight, as we illuminate the darkness with these candles, let this act as a call to bring light everywhere God's Spirit guides us. We don't light these candles in empty tradition, but we light them in the longing and expectation for Christ to come again. God was faithful to be born to us at Christmas, so we can rest in the truth and good news that he will be faithful to come once again. So Jeff, he's going to start us out, and from one flame we will illuminate the darkness. An important note, when your candle is lit, as you light someone else's candle, keep yours upright and let the unlit candle come towards yours to light it. Oh, I also invite you to stand as we sing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing. The Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a beautiful holiday.